One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
The tragic death of 19-year-old Lavenna Lynn Johnson, a private first-class Army soldier who was serving in Iraq, is a story that may have unveiled troubling secrets within the United States Army. Her untimely death has been ruled a suicide, even though evidence points to a murder, as her body shows signs of abuse, sexual assault, and a death beyond self-infliction. My name's Ben.
I'm Nicole, and you're listening to Wicked and Grim,
a true crime podcast.
Warning, the following podcast contains graphic content and material intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised.
It's playoff season. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are on right now. Sorry, we're super excited. We watched the Canucks play their first opening game the other day, which they won.
They did.
Against Nashville Predators. It was a fantastic game on both sides, but we are rooting for the Canucks to go all the way this year.
We totally are. I actually meant to throw on some of the games because there were some other Canadian teams playing tonight. But we were working.
And yeah.
I just forgot. So we're going to have to look up those scores.
Fair enough. I don't know if any of you guys out there are sports fans. We generally speaking aren't. We watch playoff hockey and like we root for the Canucks, but we really got into it this year. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we needed a winter hobby.
And it's good because the Canucks just so happen to be doing phenomenal this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say that we're not bandwagoners because we watched almost their entire preseason games too. So
yeah, pretty well, hey?
Yeah.
I think we missed a little bit at the beginning, but yeah.
Not a whole lot. We maybe missed, I bet you, like 8-10 games at the beginning. And then we were watching them and they were doing really good. And then there was a bit of a lull where they weren't doing so good, but they're bringing it back and they played phenomenal. First NHL Stanley Cup playoff game.
Yeah. Ripley hates, our dog hates when we're watching hockey because we
get excited.
The playoffs. I feel like yesterday we got pretty dang excited and she's like, oh man, she doesn't like it when like someone's kind of showing or being loud or kind of apprehensive or something, right?
She doesn't like loud emotion because she's like, is something wrong? Are you okay?
She'll literally come up and like want to give you a hug and like confront, like comfort you. And
yeah, even if it's good emotions, she thinks that something could be wrong and you might be upset because like you're loud, you must be yelling, you must be angry, you must be mad, you must be upset. So yeah,
so it's gonna be a long playoff season for her.
Yes, most certainly. But before we just start ranting and raving about hockey, we want to make sure that we thank our patrons who sign up over on Patreon, who support us behind the scenes, get that extra awesome content. And this week we had Amy Dunn sign up for Patreon. So Amy, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Amy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I want to talk about one more quick little thing before we get into today's episode. And that is something that we forgot to mention last week, which I was going to, I had it on my list, but OJ Simpson died.
Okay. I was like, did we forget?
So that was massive in the true crime world because OJ Simpson, famous for the glove
doesn't fit.
He has officially passed away.
In his 70s, I think he was.
I think 74, I want to say. Or no, 76. I got it right here.
Mm.
Yeah, 76. He passed away April 10th, 2024. I mean, technically speaking, he's innocent. Technically speaking, according to the courts, but there is a lot that goes into that case, which throws a lot of suspicion at him and the whole, hey, that glove doesn't fit, even though there's literal footage of him wearing those gloves and like TV reports and stuff like that.
But
yeah, anyways, he passed away.
Huh. which I feel like is a terrible segue into this next case, because you always think, I don't know, people get what's coming or whatever, right? Or like the, I can't even speak today. I'm like karma? Exhausted.
Karma.
Or just the court systems, or like, you know, you're going to get in jail if you did a crime. But yeah. I think
you do the crime, you do the time.
This one is going to make us mad, isn't it?
Well, you're about to find out, because this is the story of Lavenna Lynn Johnson.
Well, even after you read the intro, I was like 19.
Yes, she's 19 years old.
That's young.
So let's dive into this. Are you ready?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. Well, she was born on July 27th, 1985, in Florissant, Missouri. Lavenna Johnson grew up in a close-knit household with her parents, Dr. Johnson and Linda Johnson. As she approached the end of her high school years, Lavenna made the tough decision that would alter the course of her life and impact her family deeply. Now, of course, I mean, we know this is a true crime tale. The decision, regardless of the events that did play out, it's still a decision, if it went the correct way or what she hoped, it's still a decision that's big and would impact, you know, your life and your family. So despite her parents' reservations, Lavenna resolved to join the military. She wanted to alleviate some of the financial strain on her family regarding the looming costs of college tuitions for both herself and her sister. So it was a choice, you know, more so for herself, not one only wanting to provide back to her family, of course, you know, that monetary value, but also provide for herself in her onsetting adult years. A sense of independence, you know, is important for someone as in those younger years, becoming an adolescent, you know, a young adult or whatever. And I think it was her way of just gaining that, per se.
Well, it's impressive, too, that she's thinking about her parents and them not having to pay for two kids going to post-secondary and, you know, wanting to like provide some financial income herself.
Yeah. No,
it's pretty impressive. Actually.
It is. And I don't think it was necessarily like she was thinking of it a few different angles. One, on the surface, she was thinking like, hey, I want to provide for the family, provide back for the family. Mm-hmm. But I think like subconsciously it is that, you know, gaining your independence. She's just about to graduate high school. That's when we're all, you know, going off in the world and becoming ourselves, whether mm-hmm. it's post-secondary, moving out or relationships, whatever it is, you're spreading your proverbial wings, right? And I think this was a way of being able to do that, taking on a responsibility as an adult. And I think, you know, that was a big part of her decision.
Okay, good for her.
I mean, her parents, on the other hand, they weren't exactly concerned about her having to pay, even though, I mean, that's what she was trying to do. She's trying to like pay and ensure that she's putting in this money with the family as well. But her parents weren't concerned. They possessed the means to support not only enough money for her education, but the money for her siblings as well. So,
okay. I wondered, because you said he was a doctor, but I was like, yep. Well, maybe not all doctors make good money. I don't know.
No, they had the monetary value. They had the means of paying it. She just was like, hey, you know what? I can pay it too. And I think that's good on her for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, for her dad, Dr. John Johnson, who was a military psychologist and his career immersed himself within the intricacies of military life quite a bit. But for him, Lavenna's decision came as quite a surprise. He never wasn't one to really like press the idea of the military on his family specifically. So it was kind of like, oh, almost came out of nowhere for him. And he couldn't really shake the belief that his daughter had been swayed by the persuasive recruiters who had frequented her high school. So whether she was indoctrinated that way or not, it's hard to say. And regardless of the origins of her decision, Lavenna was determined to pursue a path in the military. It was a choice that spoke to her sense of duty, her purpose, one that she embraced, and it was going to be her conviction. So good on her.
It makes sense a little bit more so to me now, knowing that her dad, too, was part of it, right? Part of the military.
For sure. It does. So. She kind of grew up with that in the family.
Yeah.
Whether he pressed it or not, that still gives you a perspective of that lifestyle or that sense of honor and respect and service sort of thing. So mm-hmm. I totally get it. Yeah. So on May of 2005. Just a year after bidding farewell to her high school days, 19-year-old Lavenna found herself deployed in the 129th Corps Support Battalion to Balad, Iraq. Despite the miles that separated her from her home, she made a point of reaching out very frequently. She would call, write letters, reassure her loved ones of her safety and her well-being. She shared tales of her experiences and service. And from these conversations, she appeared happy with her decision. She was doing well where she was. However, as the months passed, Lavenna began talking about mistreatment and disrespect from her superiors. She was always an optimist, but she downplayed these concerns as best as she could, while still venting appropriately, right? So she was insisting that the treatment was not unique to her and urging to her parents that there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing excessive going on. Yet behind these reassuring words lay a growing unease. In her letters to her mother, Lavenna detailed the challenges she faced, including instances where her authority was undermined by insubordinate soldiers. One particular conversation with her father on January 14th in 2005 revealed the depths of her distress. She talked about an encounter with soldiers who defied her command. She told them to leave the communication room, but they ignored her. She felt helpless. She's sitting here facing this insubordination, even though they all knew she was in charge. Instead of receiving support, though, she found herself chastised by her superior officer for her perceived lack of assertiveness. She's too soft-spoken. So the superior was a general who came in and ordered the soldiers to leave. And they did, immediately. They listened to him, but they never listened to Lavenna. They just ignored her.
That's brutal, actually.
It is.
Huh. Because no matter what, no matter, say she's soft-spoken or just the way she speaks, like, if she is of higher
ranking,
like, they should be listening to her.
Yeah. And the general, like, never reprimanded these soldiers for ignoring her either. Instead, he told her, you're too soft-spoken. You need to speak up. You need to do better.
That's like showing she has zero support.
Yes.
Hmm.
So despite her father's suggestion of a battle buddy.
A battle buddy.
A battle buddy. Lavenna couldn't bring herself to do it. I mean, so Dr. Johnson urged her to seek this battle buddy. And this battle buddy is a trusted partner who would stand by a soldier's side through thick and thin, ensuring their safety and the whole military life. Now, I think it's more so employed in the field. So it's like you have someone watching your back sort of thing, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But she feared this, if she implemented this or asked for this battle buddy, it might reinforce the perception of her weakness or her soft-spokenness that was already being cast upon her by her superiors and clearly her those below her as well.
Yeah. Hmm.
So nevertheless, she told her father that she would seek this out. She would request this from the general. But in reality, she was going to face the challenges on her own.
Oh, my gosh. And I know she's telling her parents not to worry, but I could only imagine that, like, because you would be so helpless that you can't really help her whatsoever.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like her dad's giving her a bit of advice or whatnot, but he's not there. You know,
yeah, he's not there. He can't
to protect
anything.
Her. Yeah. Oh.
So anyways, a few weeks later, Lavenna called home with some exciting news. She was going to be returning home for Christmas.
OK, nice.
Which is fantastic because I know many people who are serving their country, whether it's across seas or even just stationed, you know, a few miles away. It's hard to actually get to come home for Christmas. That was major.
Yeah. I don't imagine a lot of them get that opportunity necessarily.
Definitely not. And she immediately told her family, like, don't decorate the Christmas tree. It was her favorite part of Christmas. She wanted to be there to do it with them. So they held off on decorating the tree, waiting for her to get home so she could do it with them.
That's awesome.
The anticipation of her homecoming filled the household with absolute joy, and each passing day bringing them closer to reuniting with their daughter. They couldn't wait. However, the promise of a reunion would soon be shattered when a somber visitor knocked on their door just 3 days after Lavenna's phone call.
Okay, so shit. She's so young. Yes. And it's the holidays.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. That's just some real shitty icing on the cake there.
With heavy hearts, the Johnsons received the devastating news that their daughter would not be returning home alive. Lavenna's dreams of college and a future beyond the battlefield were gone in an instant. 8 short weeks after setting foot in Iraq, and a mere 8 days before her 20th birthday, Lavenna Johnson's life was tragically cut short as the first female soldier to lose their life in the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. The messenger standing at their doorstep delivering the harsh news shattered the Johnson family's world, and it only got heavier when he told them that she had tragically taken her own life.
Oh, shit. Okay. That is the worst knock on the door you could ever get.
Yeah, I believe so. I can't think of something that would be worse.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they were shocked and struggled to believe what they were hearing about their daughter. Dr. Johnson, drawing on his own military experience, couldn't shake the immediate nagging sense of suspicion that was gnawing at him. While his wife, Linda, flat out rejected the notion that her daughter could ever take her own life. So immediately, they were suspicious.
Okay. Well, yeah, she was pumped to come home.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't think that, you know, if you have something that exciting to look forward to, that you would necessarily, you know, well, not necessarily, actually.
Yeah, I would rebuttal that and say many of the people who are struggling with depression
right before,
they often are the ones that have the biggest smile on their face. They hide it.
Mm-hmm. Or right before they have a little bit of time where, you know, they are like quite happy.
Yeah.
And life seems a lot better.
Yeah. Generally speaking, you can never see this coming.
Yeah.
So I would say that regardless of how happy she was or regardless of her mood, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a feeling that her parents had in their gut. They're like, there's no way. They knew, and they just rejected that notion immediately. Now, a day later, a call came from one of the generals, and they gave them more information and offered a glimpse into the events that led up to Lavenna's untimely death. The investigation that ensued uncovered details that painted the puzzling picture. After completing her morning shift as usual, Lavenna got changed into her training clothes but failed to show up to meet her comrades for training. A soldier was sent to search for her, and they ultimately discovered her lifeless body in a contractor's tent, surrounded by charred remnants of paper.
What the shit?
The general believed that Lavenna had been grappling with pain of a recent breakup with her boyfriend of 2 months, which he had done callously through email. They suggested that she had printed out these hurtful emails, tucked them away in her pocket, and then went on an errand to purchase some snacks and a six-pack of pop or soda, whether you're from the States or Canada, you call it pop or soda. And along with her on this little trek, she went with an unnamed other soldier, and in tow she had her M16 service weapon with her. So an M16 is a rifle. As a military narrative unfolded, Dr. Johnson found himself increasingly troubled by the discrepancies surrounding Lavenna's death. Despite the official conclusion of suicide, he and his wife couldn't shake the idea that their daughter had instead been murdered and someone was covering it up. One particular inconsistency immediately cast doubt on the military's account. The sheer physical impossibility of Lavenna standing at just 5'1" tall and weighing less than 100 pounds, maneuvering the bulky 40-inch long M16 rifle into her mouth to fire the fatal shot upon herself, as they said she did. They said she put the gun in her mouth, managed to pull the trigger to end her life, but it defied logic and deflated any sense of credibility upon the official version of events.
Holy shit. Okay. Also, she's tiny, hey?
She is very small, yes.
Okay.
So before Lavenna's body was returned home for burial, the military claimed that they have conducted an autopsy as well, purportedly confirming their narrative on how events unfolded. As Lavenna's casket, draped in the American flag, arrived at the airport, the Johnsons grappled with a profound sense of loss and disbelief as they picked up the casket of their daughter. They were advised against viewing their daughter's body and having an open casket due to the grim condition of her remains. I mean,
right.
She had a loaded weapon, mm-hmm. pulled the trigger with the barrel pointed in her mouth upwards. It wouldn't be a pretty sight.
No, no, no parent or no. Yeah, you wouldn't want to see that.
No, definitely not. But they did.
Holy shit. Okay.
It did not stop them.
Because they just knew something was wrong. They knew something was wrong.
And they were determined to face the truth. And they made the decision to open her casket.
Okay, but fuck that they even had to, you know?
I know.
Like they had to look at that.
100%. I
agree. Brutal.
So with trembling hands and heavy hearts, they began to lift the lid. And in that moment, as they gazed upon the face of their deceased daughter, she was remarkably intact, near perfectly intact.
The fuck?
Not what you expect from someone who shot themselves in the head with an M16 via the roof of their mouth. There was, however, a small hole, which was a gunshot wound just on the left side of her head, and it sent a shiver down Dr. Johnson's spine when he saw it. As he gazed upon his daughter, the realization dawned on him. Someone had gone through great lengths to conceal the truth behind Lavenna's death. Not only did she not have a gunshot wound in her mouth and exiting through the back of her head, the gunshot was on the side of her head. She had some abrasions, cuts, and bruising on her body, around her neck, and even a broken tooth. They found much more than a discrepancy in the bullet wound, these small minor abrasions on her remains. They also made the discovery that plastic surgery, which was done to mend her broken nose post-mortem, existed.
Holy shit. Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, this is making me feel like sick.
Yes.
Like sick to my stomach. Holy shit.
Yes. So she had a broken nose. Plastic surgery was done to cover that up.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Oh, okay. That's a lot to take in there.
Yeah. So despite the military's inconsistencies and insistence that the wound was done with an M16 rifle, ballistic experts Donald Marion and Cyril Wetch contested this assertion, pointing to the evidence suggesting that a 9mm pistol was likely the weapon instead. And for some unknown reason, the bullet from this incident was not recovered, so there could not be a match to prove this.
Okay, so they were just... Sorry, my brain's just going, like, spinning here.
No, spin away.
They were just coming up with some sort of story that would kind of would show, like, would make a parent not want to open the coffin, right?
It seems that way.
Something so brutal, so graphic, so terrible to see, that, you know, probably majority of parents, and rightfully so, wouldn't have opened it.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't want to fucking open that casket 100%.
Like, you just probably wouldn't, because you're like, holy shit, like, I don't want to see, like, my kid like that.
Oh, definitely.
But it was totally different than that.
No, they faced it despite what the military had said, or despite whoever it was had said, and they discovered how inconsistent the story was. The reality is she wasn't shot upward through her mouth. She was shot sideways through what I'm assuming is approximately her temple.
Mm-hmm.
The plastic surgery done on her nose to cover up that her nose had been broken. The wounds that were on her body, which we will get into a little bit later on some of the wounds that were found, but there's abrasions, there's a broken tooth, there's bruising.
Which is just shit that you wouldn't have if you committed suicide.
Especially if it was via a gun.
Yeah.
If you committed suicide by jumping off a cliff and you tumbled or something, maybe, but it doesn't fit.
Not in this way, yeah.
It doesn't fit the means of death.
Holy crap. Okay. This is brutal.
One of the more perplexing, or you could even argue disturbing, discoveries on her body was that Lavenna's white dress gloves, which were a part of her uniform that she was sent home wearing in her coffin, had been glued on her hands, which is not a normal practice, an unheard of practice, in fact. These gloves were glued on her hand and were concealing strange third degree burns.
Wow. This is just like pissing me off. Okay.
I can't blame you on that
one. Like the fuck, the gloves are glued to her hands?
Glued to her hands. They did not want these fucking gloves to be removed.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Someone needs to just be completely disgusted in themselves because this is unreal.
Yeah. Well, I'm even wondering if the glue on the hands could potentially, like putting the gloves on could potentially be means of, hey, you know what? If someone's attacked, you go defensive wounds, right? Nails, DNA under fingernails is a very popular way to find DNA of an assailant from defensive victims.
Yeah.
Gluing the hands, or the gloves on the hands, could be means of A, preventing that DNA, and B, actually removing the DNA with the glue or tainting it. That's my assumption or assertion, but it is a possibility.
Well, and like also hiding more, evidence that points that this was not a suicide.
Correct. Yeah. So they were determined to find the truth, and the Johnsons enlisted the help of a private investigator. What they uncovered was a tale of unspeakable abuse, a reality far removed from the sanitized version, if you will, presented by the military. The decision to hire this private investigator marked a turning point for the Johnson family. But even as Lavenna's hidden suffering emerged, the Johnsons grappled with the staggering weight of betrayal from the military. Beyond verbal assault, which we already know, ones that she was already kind of complaining or alluding to her family about, but still downplaying, the discovery of ongoing sexual abuse at the hands of her peers was uncovered, and the treatment Lavenna was undergoing for sexually transmitted infections as a result also cast harsh light on her ordeal.
Seriously?
Yes.
This was something that was ongoing.
Correct.
Holy shit. Okay.
So we're looking back and seeing people who are not giving her the respect, who are not listening to her, and I'm pretty sure probably would have been ones who would have turned on her.
Holy, what kind of environment is this? I mean, I don't know much about this sort of shit, but like that, I mean, that is just... not okay.
No. Now, like I've worked in some pretty toxic work environments. Ones where like not office environments. I'm talking like, you know, production where you're cursing and screaming back and forth. And it's like, you don't like, I've been inches from my boss's face telling him to like, fuck off, like get the fuck out of my face, like that sort of shit. So I've been in toxic environments and I get it. I understand it's how things are sometimes. That doesn't mean it's okay.
Well, and not to like downplay what you just said or anything, but the sexual assault, that's
not okay.
That's a crime.
Yeah, no.
That needs to be like taken care of.
What I'm alluding to is I'm saying I understand there's ways things are done in certain workplaces.
Right.
And I'm sure there's certain ways things are done in the military that you or I, or even potential people who are listening, just will not understand. Mm-hmm. And if we heard it, we'd be like, how dare they do that? But it's like, that's just how it works, right?
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
But there's lines.
Yeah.
There are lines you do not fucking cross. In the military, you listen to your fucking superiors. In the military, you need to have discipline. You need to look out for those beside you, behind you. And like you say, sexual assault, that's a fucking crime. You are now looking at treason. You should be going to fucking jail.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand there's ways things happen, but that doesn't mean that there's an excuse for this bullshit.
No. No, this, like, yeah, I mean, yelling at someone or trying to get things across in, like, you know, a rude tone or mean tone or whatever is something completely different than the shit that she is having to go through.
Yeah, no, that's unacceptable. That by is, far.
Yeah.
By far. So over the ensuing years, the Johnsons waged a tireless battle for transparency with the military, wielding the power of the Freedom of Information Act to pry open the tightly sealed secrecy that they were holding. Slowly but steadily, little bits of truth were beginning to emerge. There was the revelation of a second autopsy that was done, one that was devoid of any trace of gun residue powder on Lavenna's hands, which shattered the reality of the suicide narrative, mm-hmm. especially if it was done with a 9mm pistol. You may argue that if she used the rifle, that she would not be using her hands. Sure, okay, because you know what? You're probably using your foot to pull the trigger. It's that far away. You're not going to be able to reach the trigger. Or some sort of implement. Your hand's not going to be around the barrel. Gotcha, sure. But it most likely was done with a 9mm to the side of the head. There would be gun residue on her hands if she did pull that trigger.
Right.
Yet, as the Johnsons delved deeper, the truth was consistently being obscured more and more. There was, of course, pieces they were getting, but there was also more that was being hidden more and deeper and more and more and more. And a lot of it was being obscured by the blurry photographs that were provided by the military of the scene, the crime scene, scene of her body, and along with concealed documents and information. Now, these blurry photographs that they were provided were basically like shitty low resolution photos that were then photocopied. So it's black and white, shitty photocopies that, like, you can barely see shit. So
this is unbelievable. I mean, and the parents are already having to face that their daughter's has died and they're having to go through all this bullshit.
Oh, yeah. It's I can't imagine having to go through these.
No, I just think you would just be raging.
Yeah. So within these piles of documents that they have been able to actually get from the military, like I said, through things like the Freedom of Information Act, there was a, now I couldn't find a whole lot of information on what this exactly was, but there was a mysterious page that was found in this document pile. One where there was a lot of illegible things on it, whether it was things that were smudged or blacked out, but it seemed like it was a page that shouldn't be in there. They shouldn't have it. It held a lot of information that had been not given to them so far.
Oh, shit.
So information that wasn't given to them, and a lot of it was blotted out, blacked out, that sort of thing. So they're like, we want to know what this blacked out stuff is. Mm-hmm. Like, you clearly have this document. What the fuck is that? Hand it over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some speculate the document was accidentally included in the pile, while others actually speculate that there was a deliberate act from someone who wanted the family to actually uncover the truth. And I hope it is the latter. I hope that there was someone good out there who's trying to do the right thing. Regardless of its origin, though, the page held the promise of unlocking these concealed secrets, which ignited a fierce legal battle for the access of these documents. Dr. Johnson refused to relent, and turning to their congressman for assistance, the Johnsons waged a tireless campaign. And they did not yield until the elusive document was finally pried from the military's grip.
Okay. See, I was thinking that was going to be like a battle that he was going to lose.
They got it. His efforts paid off, and they were given the file.
Okay. I'm a bit surprised.
With clarity afforded by the newly obtained files, the Johnsons were confronted with a chilling horror. Instead of the pixelated, grainy, black and white photocopied images that they were given initially, the file contained clear color photos of the crime scene and autopsy. So the photos that were actually taken rather than shittily copied and emailed and whatever, yeah, right?
Yeah, and trying to just conceal shit.
Exactly. So previously obscured details could be seen very clearly and very sharply. The images painted a scene of nothing more than brutality. Their daughter's body is seen covered in bruises, scratches, and teeth marks on her torso. The presence of what appeared to be lye or another caustic substance was found on her vaginal area, which hinted at an attempt to erase any DNA evidence.
Oh, man. Holy shit. This is just getting worse and worse.
There was mud, dirt, and debris coating her back in a trail of blood leading from the tent she was found in, which suggested a desperate struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You good?
I don't even, like, gosh, just processing this right now is just like, it's just like breaking me a little bit. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. I couldn't believe when I actually was reading about this case. I can't believe I haven't heard of it sooner, honestly.
And I'm trying to figure out too, why the fuck would anyone like go about covering this up?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, I get why they would, but like they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have had to. I mean, whoever did this just needs to face the consequences.
Yeah. Someone knows something, and someone who is not responsible, let me put it that way, because someone who's responsible is, of course, going to cover their own tracks.
Yeah.
Someone who was not involved knows something.
Is also helping.
And they're also helping.
Like, why?
I don't know.
You know, the only reason I'm thinking in my head right now is if it was quite a few people that were doing this to her, which is horrible.
Even still,
because then, you know, like you want to hide, I guess, if there's like numerous people there that need to face some serious shit. But if it was just one, I don't think you would necessarily hide it.
Whether it's one, fucking five, 10, I don't care.
No, yeah.
There is someone who fucking knows. And I guarantee you it's going to be a superior who knows, a general, someone who fucking knows.
Gosh, that is so disgusting.
Because there is fucking superiors who signed off on the documents of this. People who issued get her plastic surgery on her fucking nose, for example, to fix this so no one finds out.
You know, that's almost being just as guilty, really.
Oh, yeah. 100%. So as they tried to process this new information that was now in their hands, the Johnsons were left to just ponder the unanswered questions that lingered. Had Lavenna been targeted for retribution by those she tried to challenge or speak up against? You know, was she a victim of a brutal assault? Was it like, who was responsible? Was it a superior? Was it someone that answered to her? What?
Yeah.
All these questions came up and there was no answers. And unfortunately, the Johnsons' relentless pursuit of justice would hit a brick wall when the U.S. Army callously refused their demands for accountability, insisting that the case was closed and beyond reexamination. It's closed. It's done. Nothing more can be done from here.
They should, like, that's embarrassing.
It is. So the Johnson family, though, still didn't want to give up. They turned to the mainstream media for assistance, hoping to amplify their cries for justice to a wider audience. CBS and ABC responded to their plea, financing another autopsy in a bid to uncover the truth behind Lavenna's tragic demise. The findings were horrifying. Lavenna's neck had also been broken, and parts of her vagina, tongue, and anus had been removed.
Holy shit.
Yet the military's autopsy made no mention of such removal, nor did they inform the Johnsons of the extent of their daughter's injury. Despite investing significant resources into investigating Lavenna's case, both CBS and ABC inexplicably chose not to run the story.
Mm-hmm.
Allegations of military pressure and threats to withhold advertising revenue and funds were rumored to be partially part of the reasons why.
Well, yeah, that's kind of earlier why I was so surprised that they were able to get the folder with more information, because they're literally up against, you know, like the government.
Yeah, they are.
So that it just, yeah.
Not only the government, it's not like you're sitting here like fighting Donald Trump or Justin Trudeau. It's like, no, you're going up against the armed military mm-hmm. government. Like, this is a whole other category here. You got the dudes who are like, yeah, we got a fucking sniper up on the tower with his crosshairs yeah. on you right now.
It really shows like the character of the parents, though. Like they are like badasses, hey? Like they don't give a shit. They're just like, we want to figure out what happened to our daughter and we don't like care who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Which is quite impressive.
They were fucking relentless. They did what they could fucking do and they did tenfold beyond that.
Which is so awesome in honor of their daughter, right?
Well, I couldn't agree more. That's all they did. They just continued their fight. And that's literally what I have written next. The Johnsons continued their fight because that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They continued. They were enlisting support of congressional representatives to pressure the army into reopening the investigation. Yet when confronted with the contradictions that were brought up via autopsies, the photos, everything, all the unanswered questions surrounding her death, army officials remained with the narrative they had. It was a suicide. What about her broken nose, her broken neck? It was a suicide.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
What about the drag marks from the tent? What about the teeth marks on her torso? It was a suicide. What about the removal of orifices from her body, which were clearly done in one of the autopsies you guys did? It was a suicide. She put an M16 into her mouth, pulled the trigger, even though that M16 is way too big for her body and the bullet hole is found on the side of her fucking head. It was a suicide.
From a smaller gun.
Like, they just, nope, suicide. This is what happened.
I don't even understand how that's like, how that can be justified.
That's literally like, I've got my hand in the cookie jar and I'm eating a cookie and there's chocolate all over my face and you walk into the kitchen. Ben, are you eating cookies? And I'm just like,
No.
And I just keep chewing and I keep pulling cookies out of the cookie jar and I keep stuffing my face, which honestly, that kind of sounds like me.
It does.
Thanks for backing me up.
I kind of like could really relate to this.
Just picturing it. And I'm just looking at you. No, I didn't touch the cookies and I'm literally eating it in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's no fucking different.
Yeah. Because like what this girl, this woman went through, it just seems like complete hell.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're covering it up makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
Yeah. So the Johnson family were left with the painful reality that their daughter's killer remained unpunished, or killers. While they were condemned to a lifetime of anguish, unanswered questions without their daughter. Her tragic fate, it seems, will forever be buried by bureaucratic red tape of the USA military. And that is the story of Lavenna Johnson.
Holy shit. That is horrible. That's a horrible story.
I know. There is no resolve. It got worse and worse and worse. We know the fucking answer, but we will never get confirmation of it. We will never understand who. We only understand what. We don't know why. We don't know who. We don't know how many.
I feel like it would be more than one.
I agree.
Because I think it was just one person. Well, her injuries were so substantial. And if it was just one, I'm not sure superiors would go to the extent that they have to cover that up. Necessarily. No. If it was just one individual, right? You know?
I agree.
So I think it was many. Many.
I agree. Yeah.
And maybe even themselves.
Could have been. Very well could have been. We recently just did an episode on a high-ranking military official who committed some fucking atrocious crimes on a subordinate, in fact.
He even
broke into her house and fucking sexually assaulted her and killed her and hit her body. I can't remember the dude's name. It was just a couple episodes ago, in fact.
See, yeah, we just forget. It's instantly. Kate, was she like.
I don't want to remember those guys.
Well, I know.
Fuck them.
I know. We don't even try to. But like, was she the only woman there?
We
don't even know how big it. Yeah. How.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how big the camp was. I don't know how big her regime or whatever the word is called. I said it at the very beginning. Hold on. I'm going to go back. Where is it now? Battalion. Is it battalion?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, her battalion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how big her battalion was. I don't know if there's other battalions stationed in the same camp encampment of, as them. As for all I know, it could be like fucking 12 of them camping out in a bush and there's like three tents. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Just like such an innocent life that just had the best of intentions, you know?
Yeah, I know. And then some fucking piece of shit decided that...
And they're just getting away with it, living their life. Like, yeah. Holy shit. I hope that they are just haunted. Like, just fucking haunted of what they did, their actions, to the extent that they just can't even live a normal life whatsoever.
I hope so, too.
Because they should not. Yeah. They should be in jail.
I agree. But instead, they're most likely getting praised for their service to the country. Which makes me fucking sick to my stomach.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that does.
Anyways, hopefully you guys, I don't want to say enjoyed this episode. And if every time I'm like, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Well, it's hard to say enjoyed this episode because they're fucking shitty stories. Hopefully, I don't know.
How would you word that? Because right now I'm just pissed.
I know, me too.
So hopefully you...
Thank you for being here. You guys are awesome for supporting us. How's that? Hopefully one day Lavenna gets some fucking retribution to her name because that would be amazing. If you guys want to check out any more of our stories that we have, listen to our whole back catalog. We got over 180 episodes out there on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. You're listening right now. You have access to like almost 200 episodes.
That's impressive. And, look at us.
And then on Patreon, we got even more. So you can sign up there and get more.
Look at us go. Who would have ever thought, hey?
I don't know.
When we first started in our living room.
This is this is taking me to that Hot Wings episode with what's his name? Paul Rudd. Look at us. Anyways.
Well done. That is a story that really does need to be brought to attention.
Yeah. No, Lavenna's story needs to be told more often. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
This one broke my heart. But anyways, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. And as always,
stay wicked.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.